We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you will give us vision and give us a good exhortation in our hearts, Lord. We've received, Lord, my conscience is so clear, Lord, that in this church we have assured people of your great love and of your great power and your great accomplishments for us. And Lord, there's a point where we react to what you have done, that we respond to what you have done. And I pray, Father, that today we might be able to see more and more, Lord, how to respond to your great love and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Again, the apostle is finishing not because it is unimportant, but rather, I believe, because he wants to leave that impression into their hearts. And he is letting them know that there are terrible powers and principalities against the believer, and that they have to pull together, that they have to be strong in God. They have to be strong in the Lord Jesus. And we looked last week at the fact that a person becomes a Christian. When they become a Christian, they become babies, but then they grow in strength more and more as the years go by. And what they need is food, they need drink, they need exercise. And Loretta afterwards, she said to me, "Yes, but you haven't mentioned the Holy Spirit." And we will get to that. We'll get to that in next week, actually. We're going to talk about the strength that comes upon us when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But we have to take this in different strides, in different angles, because the reality is that we are interested in growing strong as Christian men and women. We want to grow up healthy and strong. Now, we looked at food, we looked at drink, we looked at the need for exercise, and the reality is that discipline in our life and practice is also going to give us a lot of strength in our Christian walk. The best way to keep our strength up is to keep doing something. You know, you take a guitar player, they grab the guitar and they want to keep practicing. They're practicing and they hit a peak. But the moment that they stop picking up the guitar, you know, Thomas, for example, with the drums, he'll come and play every single day over here. At least he tries to every single day to play drums. At least how long? An hour or 2 hours. Because he wants to keep at his peak. So in order to be good at something, in order to be strong at something, you have to keep doing it. You have to be involved in it. Look at the difference between a working man and a wealthy man who has to keep fit to get in shape. You know, you have a guy that works construction, and usually you see posters of people that work construction, and they take their shirt off, and they look like me, you know, just, you know. And but then you look at somebody else that maybe doesn't have, they're wealthy, they don't have much to do, and they have to, what they do is they pay for a gym to go work out. One is working and keeps fit naturally. The other one has to do something about it, has to do something separate about it. Look, I love watching Bart. Bart, at the beginning of the season, is usually a bit rounder. But man, you put him in the kitchen in spring, summer, and by fall, the guy's just like looks slim. I mean, now it's because he's working, you know, he actually works out as well. But the reality is that when you keep busy and you're working, you get in shape, even if it is in the kitchen. And the reality is the best way to exercise is to be doing some work. And we are never in a weaker position in our Christian walk than when we are idle, than when we're doing nothing. As a matter of fact, David, King David's greatest sin, greatest mistake in his walk was when he was doing nothing. In 2 Samuel 11, 1, it says, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, but David remained in Jerusalem." I've been there. We're going to go there on the trip now. But the reality is that when you go to the old citadel of David right there, the old area where the palace was, it's on the top. And you see all the houses, all the terraces at the bottom. And you can just imagine everybody's gone out to battle. He stays home and he's just sitting on the top of his palace. And he can see all the terraces. And all of a sudden, as he's doing nothing, he's got a lot of time in his hand. And he looks at Bathsheba and says, "Whoa, who is she?" He would have never gotten in trouble if he would have been busy about his Lord's business. Idle hands are the devil's tools. And a lot of us get into trouble simply by doing nothing. We end up in temptation. Isaac Watts wrote, "In works of labor or in skill, I would be busy too, for Satan finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. Satan is always ready to take advantage of an idle position to entice us. Activity in the things of the Lord is necessary." And obviously, when we talk about activity, we don't just mean zealous without knowledge, but we do mean sound activity. 2 Peter, if you turn, and we're going to be in 2 Peter today for a few minutes, maybe the whole thing, I'm not sure, depending how we move here. But if you turn to 2 Peter, he lets us know how to keep busy in the right way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." And here the Apostle Peter is telling us how to be strong by keeping diligent, by keeping adding to our faith. We must be advancing, and we must give all attention. You know, you could grab all the fitness books in the world and read about how to get fit, but if you don't do it, you will never get fit. And now, why are we to be diligent? Well, it says it in 2 Peter. It says, if you do these things and they abound, you will not be barren but fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, you will never fall. If you keep busy with the things of the Lord, you will not fall. And this reminds us that we have to act with all diligence. Now, the question is, what must we do? We add to our faith what? What did Peter say? We must add to our faith virtue. To add to our faith means to supplement our faith with something. James says it, if we say we believe, but we do not act, we lie to ourselves. So how do we add faith? How do we supplement our faith? And what do we supplement it with? Peter says, you add virtue. And virtue, it would be better to sort of look at it from what it is. From the negative, you could say, add to your faith virtue. It would be, in the negative, would be, do not be lethargic. Do not be lazy. Do not be just passive about it. Add to your faith action. Add to your faith energy. Doing a task half-hearted takes more energy than doing a task full-hearted. If you are lethargic when you go to, have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a job and you just don't like the job? And you have no vision for the job? You don't like it at all? And you go there and just like, oh, I just can't take this. Doesn't the time just take forever? You feel like, mamma mia, Have you ever done a project yourself, something you believe in, and you're doing it with all your heart? It seems like you have more energy. You don't get tired. You probably worked 3 times as much, and you're not even tired. You come home, and you have energy, because doing something full-hearted will actually, you'll have the energy, and it will give you more energy. But if you do something half-hearted, lethargically, then you will actually be even more tired afterwards. So it makes you weaker in a sense. So Peter, in a sense, when he says to say, when Peter says, add to your faith virtue, in a sense, what he's saying is, rouse yourself. He's saying, put yourself together. This last night I was studying, and there was at one point, I was just in the office. The girls were downstairs. Loretta had a couple girls over. And when I went to bed, I realized, I looked at my watch and I said, I can't believe it. It's 1:00. And this morning, when it was time to get up to come to church, I thought of the joke, you know, where it says, Loretta, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go. But you have to go, Loretta. I don't want to go. But you're the pastor. You have to go. You know, part of me is just like, I was a bit lethargic in getting up this morning because I'm not used to staying up that late on a Sunday. And the reality is that I had to put myself together. Hey, you got to put yourself together. Go there. Rouse yourself to do it. And, you know, I mean, the rousing yourself is sort of like the difference between a sleeping cat. You know, you ever seen a cat sleeping? I have Sheba at home, and Sheba just sleeps like this. She sleeps like that, and she's completely relaxed. But, man, when she sees something moving, and she's like, the ears go like that, she wakes up. And next thing you know, she just gets alert. And she begins to take small steps towards it. And then have you ever seen the cats? The tail begins to go. And then they're ready to go. In a sense, what Peter is saying, add to your faith virtue, be like that. Be so ready, so tense, so ready to act that whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to do, do it with everything that you have. If you do things rousingly, if you do things with energy, with full-heartedness, you will be strong. But if you're lethargic about it, you will not be strong in the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, you will see what I'm talking about. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They built that wall in a record time because people did not go there lethargically saying, okay, there we go. They had a mind to work. They were going to do this. Whatever it cost, they were going to give everything that they had to building this wall. And you know what? The reality is sometimes we come to church like the leech. Give, give. And the reality is that, you know, some people get grumpy and they get into the devil's hands when they're idle. They don't do anything in church, so they see every mistake. They're not busy. But I would like to quote Kennedy to you. Kennedy looked at America and says, don't ask America what it can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Ask what you can do for America. And the reality, a lot of times, people just don't have a mind to work. Take, for example, our plants here. Sometimes I look at them, and I have no green fingers. Now, I know we have people at church with a Spanish or English service that have green fingers. And those plants just look so sad. And I just think to myself, is there nobody who has vision for plants? We had a German lady that came to the Spanish church. She was amazing. She says, the lighting, the chairs, and the plants. So what did she do? She bought a couple plants. She bought those two. She doesn't come anymore. but she bought the thing, and she began to take care of things, and she began to get involved and just plug in. You know, a lot of times we're weak in our Christian faith because we're not involved in the Christian work within the church. As a matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. It's speaking about deacons, let's read verse 12. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, a deacon is someone that's in charge of practical things in the church, whether it's setting up chairs, whether it's cleaning, whether it's accounting, whether things like that, things that just have to be done like in any other location, any other place you go to. And a deacon is someone that is in charge of whether greeting and serving in some way or another in the church. You know what? Paul tells Timothy that when a deacon serves well faithfully, they obtain great confidence in the faith. Which you can deduct from that if a person half-heartedly serves a church, they're going to remain weak in the faith. When a person plugs in, I have seen it. I've plugged people in particular things at times. Other times we need to see what needs to be done. But when people plug into something at church, it is amazing how they grow. It is amazing to me how they grow. And a lot of people don't grow because they do the Christian walk half-heartedly. So therefore they are weak. Where if we would do it full-heartedly, great strength would be ours. Strength in the Lord. I remember with Bart, sort of like wavering back and forth, you know, a bit. I mean, he was keen, he was excited, but he was like this a little bit. And I remember when I asked him, will you take over the worship? Man, it's like dynamite. All of a sudden, I was like, whoa, what's going on? Even Sam and Louise always say, man, the change. I've seen it with different people at church. I've seen it with Jimmy plugging him in. Just the great, and him taking that step, but sometimes fear keeps us. And you know what? Whenever you're doing something, have you ever done something like just from the edge, you're involved, but you're not really involved? It's just so difficult. But when you plug in together, you gain great strength in the Lord. So we need to plug in. Add to your faith virtue, he says. But you add to your virtue knowledge. And I'm not going to tackle knowledge because a couple of weeks ago we already saw that those who know their God will do great exploits. And we already talked about the knowledge, how it strengthens us. But he says add to knowledge self-control. How are you to be strong in the Lord? Well, you are going to be strong in the Lord if you control yourself. This is the principle of conservation of energy. Many are weak because we waste our strength. And if we want to be strong men, we have to say no to certain things. We have to say no. I wrote down a basic triathloner. Is that triathloner? Do you say it like that? Triathlete. There we go. I wrote down a basic beginner's triathlete schedule. Just basic. I couldn't go through the whole. It was 16 weeks. Monday, swim 30 minutes, run 30 minutes. Tuesday, bike 45 minutes. Wednesday, bike 30 minutes, run 30 minutes. Thursday, swim 30 minutes. Friday, off. Saturday, bike 30 minutes. Sunday, run 30 minutes. But then, between week 9 and 16, on Wednesday, something really interesting happened. He says, it said this on the internet. Brick, bike 60 minutes, run 45 minutes. And I thought, brick? And I think that means with bricks in your backpack or something, does it? It must mean that because it said bricks. And I kind of thought, wow, but the reality, anyway, whether the bricks are there or not, the thing is that it gets more intense until the day of the race where it eases up a little bit. But the reality, if you want to succeed in some kind of race, you're going to have to be doing something. But in doing something, there's some things that you're not going to be able to do. There's some things that you're not going to do. You're not going to eat a big old cake if you're trying to plan for a triathlon. Listen what it says. I took some quotes of athletes. The best and fastest way to learn a sport is to watch and imitate a champion. That is Gene Cloudkill. He won the 3 Olympic medals in 1968 in the Winter Olympics. Another one is George Halas, who was a player, owner, pioneer of U.S. football, leader of the Chicago Bears. He says, nobody who ever gave his best regretted it. Archie Griffin, an American football running back, he wrote, it is not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. And Duffy Dougherty, an American football player and coach, he wrote, when you are playing for national championship, it's not a matter of life and death. It is more important than that. Now, athletes take it very seriously, and because of that, there are certain things that they don't do. They learn how to say no to certain things and yes to other things. Listen, if we want to be strong in the Lord, it means we learn how to deny ourselves certain things. We have to, there are some things that maybe other people might be able to do that damages us. There are some things in our life that just take a lot of energy out of us, and we have to deny ourselves certain things. We have to be self-controlled. I tell the staff, I tell the staff, please, on Saturday night, I know that some people might be out later, but I need you to go to bed earlier. You have to deny yourself staying up late so that on Sunday morning when we come to church, we're fresh. After all, that's our main day of being together, of being alert. So we go to bed earlier so we're ready the next day. It means you deny something. Drinking, for example. I believe that a Christian can have a glass of beer. I believe that a Christian can have a glass of wine with their meal. But to be honest, I think a lot of Christians get into trouble because those liberties get them into trouble. They say, oh, I can do that. I can do this thing. And they don't learn how to say no to certain things in their life. So therefore, they never grow. They never get any further because they haven't learned to say no. Internet. I think a lot of times we waste a lot of time on the internet. We waste energy. Have you ever been on the internet for 5 hours and afterwards your eyes are going, and you're just wasted after that because you don't know how to have some self-discipline and say no to this. You know, TV, soap operas. You know what soap operas are? How do you say soap operas in Britain? Soap operas, okay. These shows that always is somebody else's story, and there's always bitterness, and there are always affairs, and you just get there, and you're like, but it's so interesting. But maybe for you, but for other people, it is very interesting. But they have to learn how to say no. That's probably the first time you've ever spoken up at church, hasn't it? But the point is we say no to certain things. We need to be self-disciplined. An athlete doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, and they live for the event. They exercise self-control and controlling one's temper. You know, I think part of it is controlling our temper as well. Some people just, they're very constitution. They get angry, they get vicious, and they waste complete energy. Instead of being able to say, quit being a baby. Grow up. Grow up, Raph. Quit meditating on that thing. So we add to our virtue and knowledge, self-control. Now, another thing that we add, that Peter says, is we add to your self-control perseverance. Perseverance is Patient enduring, it means going on, not in fits. You can't grow strong in fits. Again, if we're going to train, you all know New Year's resolutions. This year, I'm going to be fit. And then 6 weeks go by, and all that remains is a memory of wanting to be fit. And if you want to be fit, the reality is you persevere in what you've determined. No one becomes physically strong by training for a week. You go on, and you go on doing it. So much so in the Christian life. You don't do things only when you feel like it, but also when you don't feel like it. Then you will begin to feel like doing it. There will be obstacles and disappointments, opposition and persecutions, but don't let them make the difference. Keep going, no matter what it is. Reading our Bibles. If we don't learn how to do that, when we feel like it and when we don't, the reality is going to be really tough. Spending time with the ones we love, spending time with church members. You know, I just decided, talking to a couple of people at church, I'm going to spend determined time with people. Because sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't feel like it, and I have to spend time with people, be determined. I have to determine to, I mean, church, I don't have much of an option, but the reality is, you know, church should not be a luxury that we do or we don't do. It should be a determination within our heart. We've determined. We persevere. Because at the end of the day, becoming a Christian, we've been born again and we've set our sails to do a crossing of the Atlantic or a crossing of the Pacific. And the reality is that we need to stay a course. We can't let every little storm, every little wind, every little thing that comes our way drift us away. We have to stay the course, and that comes with perseverance. And then we add to perseverance, it says, Peter says, add godliness. And godliness is consciousness of walking in the sight of God and with God. You know, it says, Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God. And it means that we are conscious of the fact that we are living before God. Sometimes, you know, I get the feeling that we have the temptation to live before people. And one of my biggest struggles being a pastor, I hate the title pastor. Because I have seen some people act differently around me. And sometimes it's really difficult that they do around other people. And it's really a bit of a point of frustration for me. And I've always told you the story of the one man I pulled next to him. And I said, hey, how you doing? And the man was smoking a pipe. And he turned to me and he says, hey, how you doing? And he dropped the pipe on his lap. You know, and I thought to myself, what in the world? And I wanted to say, I mean, I was polite and left so he could pick it up. But I wanted to say, hey, so how's the wife? And you know, and just keep talking and see what happened. But the reality is he acted differently around me. I've had people comment, and, you know, Mallorca has a novelty for weddings. People want to get married here. So I get a lot of phone calls and emails to do weddings. And I've had people say to me, hey, Pastor Raphael, could you do our wedding? And you talk to them, you sit down with them, and you swear they are Christians, man. They're telling you about their church back home and what they do and what they don't do. And then you agree to do their wedding. And I remember one particular one, my heart just broke. Because as soon as I said amen, the son of this couple, they got married, came up to me and says, in our church, it's custom that the pastor get drunk with us afterwards. And from then on, I began to see their true colors. When they wanted something, they were one thing, but afterwards they became another thing. And the reality is that godliness is to live before God. We are in private what we are in public. We are in public what we are in private because we know that the best guest, the most respectable person in the world is everywhere with us. As a matter of fact, Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ Jesus. I know sometimes people are really afraid to give people advice to other people in front of me. But I tell you what, I'm afraid to give advice to people because I'm in the sight of God. And I need to make sure that I give godly advice to people. So it's not each other that we need to fear or realize their presence. We add godliness. We need this. We have this sense that God is with us all the time. We practice this. And this, knowing that we're in His presence all the time, makes us strong. And then we add to godliness brotherly kindness. And there are many weak Christians, and one of the chief causes of their weakness is that they do not love Christians. They do not love their brothers, and they do not love people in this world. They spend too much time thinking hard thoughts about people, and this drains them. Have you ever been drained thinking hard thoughts about somebody else? And it weakens you. You're upset at someone, and you're just got, and I can't believe they did this thing, and I can't believe they did that thing. And we think like we think we're strong because after all, we're gonna get at them, you know? And in reality, it's eating away from us. If we want to grow strong, we wanna grow in love to the brothers. We wanna be people that love one another. I mean, how can we pray in the Spirit if we are thinking such hard thoughts about people? The Bible says we know we've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. And all this failure to love Christians simply drains us of energy. And I can't think of a better illustration than Absalom, and Tamar. You see, Tamar was one of King David's daughters. And Amnon was one of King David's sons by a different mother. And he was sick. Well, actually, he loved Tamar so much that one of his friends said, why don't you pretend to be sick? And then he was actually sick. And he was sick of love. I mean, he just really, really loved this girl. And the guy says, why don't you ask your father to send Tamar to you since you love her so much? She can serve you. So Amnon thought this was the greatest thing in the world. So he said, hey, can you please send me Tamar? And King David said, sure. So this young girl comes to serve him and brings him food. And he says to her, he sends everybody away and he says to her, come over here. And she comes over to the side of the bed and he grabs her and pulls her over. And she says, please, such a thing should not be done in Israel. Ask my father, ask your father, and he will gladly give me to you. But he overpowered her, and he had relations with her. Now, the tragic thing is that as soon as he did that, he said to his servants, get her out of here. He called them in and says, get her out of here. And one of the most powerful images that I have of the Bible in my mind is always when Tamar's sitting outside, and the Bible actually says that the door shut behind her. And one of the things that I always hear is like, boom, that door and that girl just crying and just completely devastated at what has just happened. So what does she do? She's weeping. She goes home and she tells her brother Absalom. Now, Absalom and Tamar were brothers by the same mom and the same dad. And Absalom said this thing. She told him everything and Absalom says to her, hey, he's your brother. And he said nothing to Amnon, neither good nor bad. He said nothing. Now imagine being Tamar. What do you mean he's my brother? Now Absalom said to Amnon nothing. And to Tamar said, he's your brother, just leave it. 2 years passed. 2 years passed. And he said to his dad, Dad, I'd like to have a barbecue. The dad said, we're not going to have a barbecue. If I come, it's going to need an entourage. It's going to be such a big thing. We don't want to make a big deal. Just I'll stay. Yes, but could Amnon come? Let Amnon come. David was a bit surprised, but agreed to it. So the brothers went over to this barbecue. And he told his servants, when you see him drinking and when you see him having fun, when I give the word, you kill him. He said nothing. In his heart, he was angry at what Abner had done. He never went to talk to him about it. And this bitterness in his heart cultivated, developed into hatred, and developed into murder, and developed into the ultimate destruction of Absalom, because not only did he kill Abner, but then he tried to kill David, his father. And then he actually died by being hung on a tree. His hair got caught and they killed him. But you see, hard thoughts in our cultivated in our heart keeps us weak. And that's why Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. Add to perseverance godliness. And add brotherly kindness. For if you love, you will be strong. If these things are in you and they abound, you will be strong. But if you don't add these things to your life, you will be weak, and the devil will have a stronghold in your life. We must love one another. You know, one of the biggest difficulties I have, and we're all guilty of this. But one of the biggest difficulties that I have is that we seem to talk to everybody about everybody else's problems, but the people that are actually going through the problem. And if we would just go to the person, loving that person, and saying, you know what, I'm hurt about this. Take, for example, Alex, Ken Bankhead's son. One day I passed by and I didn't say hello. I just, you know, sometimes I'm very focused and I just pass by. And he was a bit upset with me. And then he thought I was upset with him. And then a week passed by and he said, Raph, are you upset with me? And I said, no. And he says, because the other day you passed by and you didn't say hi. And I said, Alex, I promise you, I'm not upset with you. And I grabbed him and gave him a hug. And I said, not at all. Can you imagine if you would have never come to me with it? And you go to so-and-so, and you go to so-and-so, and you talk it, and it blows up to be this huge thing when it's just like, I just didn't say hello. And I didn't mean it. You know, and there's got to be that love from which we add brotherly kindness. We do good to one another. We don't hurt one another. We don't talk maliciously about one another. Whatever we do and say always is for the benefit of the person. Even if we do have to discuss somebody else's problems, it is never should be to hurt. It should always bring healing to that situation or confrontation. We must add these things to our life. That's how we're going to become strong, is by practicing, by exercise, by continuance in these things. And you know what? You will never get to the point where you say, I've arrived. The Bible says we grow from strength to strength until the day we go to see the Lord. But notice it says, add to your faith. You can only add when you're believers. It's futile for a non-believer. A non-believer has to become a Christian. And once he believes, then he becomes diligent in those things. I have another hour, so be patient. I actually do have another half, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to finish right now. And we'll continue next week. But the thing is, another way of being strong in the Lord is in being strong in the name of Jesus. And that's what we'll look at next week. But guys, let's be people that if we're good at something, I mean, we're all good at different things. I mean, I look at Thomas and say, man, what a drummer. And sometimes I wish I was a bit coordinated, you know, and I'm just not. I don't know how he can do things with 2 feet and 2 hands and then the thing he does there, you know. Even at the beginning, I know you noticed, but when he went, I was like, oh, I wish I could do that. Or you see Alex on the guitar, or you see Andrea on the guitar when she comes, or Liz on the guitar, Liz over there. Or you see people, Serge and Rick on computers. You watch people that are just good at certain things, and you know what? They got there because they practiced those things. And we're okay with saying that's them and that's me. When it comes to Christianity, if there's anything we excel in, it should be Christianity. And all of us should give our practice to that, our daily practice, our daily hour, our daily life. Should be a practice in the Christian walk. We should always be adding. After all, remember what Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What was the problem with Lot's wife? She wasn't adding. She went out and she looked back. Jesus said, you go forward. She looked back. And she looked back at Sodom. And it's not that she looked back and it says she became a pillar of salt. It's not like this. It's not like she looked back and thought, wow, I wonder what the destruction looks like. Boom, judgment. You know, it's not like that. When it says she looked back, it says she looked back longing for Sodom. And we are not the people that long for the past. We add to the future. Where are you going? Where are you going? Because we can develop an I don't care attitude. Rather than, I want to add attitude. And that will make us strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, we're going to be face Jesus one day, and I don't want to get to heaven. And Jesus said, oh, you made it. You stink a bit like smoke. You're closer to hell than here. I want to get to heaven like we saw in Acts this week. With the Acts students when we were looking at Acts, like Stephen. People were accusing him. People were stoning him. And they looked at his face, and it was like that of an angel. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, I see the Son of Man at the right hand of the Father standing. And it's very interesting if you've ever read Acts 7, because it says that Jesus was standing. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Well, Hebrews says he sat at the right hand of the Father. Why is he standing? And I believe that he stood up to receive the first faithful martyr, the first faithful witness. And the way we're going to grow into that, I want to get to heaven, is, and Jesus says, come over here, good and faithful servant. And we're going to do that when we continually add. I know we all have problems. We all have work. Some of us are moving. Some of us have marriage problems. Some of us are difficulty. But one thing we can always do is add to our faith. So let's pray. Father.